Anyone lucky enough to have lived through the Apollo 11 era will fondly remember mankind's first tentative steps on the moon. Even those of us who grew up decades later still have those images imprinted indelibly on our imagination. The Apollo 11 lifting off and rising into space. The grainy black and white footage of Neil Armstrong's one giant leap for mankind.
Here, men from the planet Earth, first set foot upon the moon, July 1969.
Now, one Irish company is using virtual reality to recreate those historic moments. Immersive VR Education, located in Waterford City, have kick-started the Apollo 11 experience. They want to take Irish school children back on that wild, optimistic voyage into space.
What's going to happen is you're going to be sitting back in 1962 and you're going to watch the JFK speech in a funky room with a lava lamp. And then you're going to go to the Kennedy Space Center on launch day on the 16th of July. And you're actually going to fly past the Saturn V rocket. You're going to get in the elevator with the astronauts. And then you're going to climb on board the spaceship. And then you're actually going to go to low Earth orbit. And you're going to feel weightless when you get to space. So that's what's happening today.
So I'm travelling down from the top of the Apollo 11, from hundreds of feet up in the air to the ground.
It looks absolutely huge.
Myself and my fellow astronauts are rising up the side of the rocket. I feel quite tall. I guess we're simulated tall men. Oh wow, I can look around them.
Look at their waxy astronaut faces.
It's really strange to look down, see all of my astronaut toys on my astronaut body. Oh, everything's shaking. And as the clouds go by the window, I actually kind of do feel like I'm in a vehicle going somewhere with two wax dummies.
Education hasn't really changed, or the foundations of education haven't changed in over 200 years, where students are still reading text from books or they're looking at photographs or videos. Okay, so they have to visualize the concepts that the teachers are trying to get across, which can be difficult. Whereas with virtual reality, if a student is learning about the solar system or learning about the effects of gravity, we can actually put them in a spaceship and send them out. They can visit Jupiter, or they can actually see two stars collide and see the effects that it has on the stars. They can actually experience it as if they were there, or they can actually revisit any day in history.
It's easy to be skeptical of virtual reality education, to wonder if it can or will become a great distraction, a game, something that detracts from the ability to solve problems and to imagine things on your own. But the medium actually provides new possibilities for creative problem solving.
Let's say we put a DNA strand in front of you. You can actually start ripping that apart and rearranging it then. And then in real time, then you'll get a result at the end. So if you change, like say, an AB molecule, will the child have blonde hair? Will the child have blue eyes? You know, you can do all that in real time and leave people to experiment with it. It's a lot more interactive and a lot more fun. It's a way of engaging the students. We want students to wake up in the morning, jump out of bed, wanting to go to school. Today I'm going to walk on Mars, or today I'm actually going to Mount Vesuvius and I'm actually going to see Pompeii leveled. They're the kind of experiences that we're going to have in schools worldwide.
Look, virtual reality just isn't quite there yet, but the possibilities are already tantalising. Demos like this one really do illustrate VR has an intensely engaging quality, something that sets it apart from television, radio, movies and even the web.
I can definitely see people, like especially people who are addicted to The Sims, where they put on a headset and they're just in The Sims. Some people just have addictive personalities, and those kind of people will definitely be drawn to virtual reality. But the amount of good that virtual reality will do will outweigh the odd few people that will be very hopelessly addicted to it.
During my time with VR, I got to try lots of demos. One where geek darling Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson gave a lecture while his points vividly illustrated themselves in the air before him. Another where I walked on the engineering deck of the Starship Enterprise. But perhaps the most compelling was a simple demo where you're confronted with a woman. Sitting in a dentist's or barber's chair, she's wearing a VR helmet. At David's instruction, I pressed a button and the headset came off. Suddenly, we were face to face and her head was moving and her eyes tracking me. It was an uncanny feeling. A presence that was not a presence. A person who existed only in the vaguest form of simulation, and yet seemed, for a moment, all too real. This gives a hint, I think, to what could be the most compelling and disturbing aspect of VR, the presence of another person, or the illusion of one, in this simulated space.